Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the tender return date for work at Buncrana Community Hospital has been extended by the HSE. School secretaries and caretakers will be balloted on proposals from the Workplace Relations Commission. The Orange Order says it's made an application for a new limited parade at Drumcree in County Armagh after a previous Parades Commission ruling was quashed by the High Court in Belfast because of a procedural error. And tax receipts of more than €66 million have been recorded by the Exchequer. The figures show a rise in VAT and corporation tax, but excise duty has fallen. Later in the bulletin, Oisín's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 6:15. But we begin with confirmation from the HSE this afternoon that the tender date for work at Buncrana Community Hospital has been extended. In an email circulated to local representatives and stakeholders who are involved in the project, the HSE says the extension of the tender return date is to ensure the maximum number of submissions are received and the competitive process delivers the best possible value. With more, here's Ryan Brawley.
The HSE says the tender returns are due back shortly, after which it will undertake the formal evaluation process. It says that as the procurement process remains commercially sensitive, it cannot provide further details on submissions received so far in order to protect the integrity and fairness of the process. Following the evaluation and approval stage, a statutory standstill period must be observed before a formal appointment can be made. The HSE says a further update will be provided once the contractor has been formally appointed.
Gardaí and Leitrim have launched a witness appeal into a crash which happened over 2 weeks ago. Two cars were involved in the collision on the Kinloch to Manor Hamilton Road on Tuesday, August 18th. A man in his 80s, a passenger in one of the cars, has since passed away. One woman in her 80s suffered non-life-threatening injuries. Gardaí at Manor Hamilton are appealing to anyone with information from the area on August 18th to come forward. School secretaries and caretakers are to be balloted on proposals from the Workplace Relations Commission. Their union forces says it comes after an intense round of negotiations in the early hours of yesterday. It withdrew strike action after a process was established in a bid to end the dispute. The proposals include moving caretakers to a central Department of Education payroll, allocating them 22 days annual leave, offering paid sick leave and bereavement leave, among other measures. Forces says these terms significantly improve the working conditions for secretaries and caretakers working at schools across the country. The Orange Order confirmed this afternoon it's made an application for a new limited parade at Drumcree in County Armagh. It's after a Parades Commission ruling to impose restrictions was quashed by the High Court in Belfast last month due to a procedural error. The Orange Order has unsuccessfully applied to complete its walk along the mainly nationalist Garvahy Road for over 20 years. We'll port it down Orange Order District Master Nigel Dawson says there is no threat to anyone as a result.
The issue to be determined is one of law. We will take our fight to the courts. There is no threat of any violence, disorder or disruption from any section of our community. That position is unequivocal and applies regardless of the outcome.
However, Sinn Féin insists the issue of orange marches on the Garvahy Road is closed. Finance Minister and local MLA John O'Dowd says it's time to move on from the past.
I would appeal to those who continue to wish to impose marches in this community to stop and to allow not only this community but the rest of our society to move on, to embrace the changes that there has been and to stop trying to bring an awful history back into the present. Nothing has changed. It's the same old agenda. Imposing an unwanted march on a community that has suffered greatly over many, many years and who has now had the opportunity to live in peace and wants to continue to live in peace.
Tax receipts of more than €66 billion were recorded by the Exchequer up to the end of last month. Figures out this evening show income tax receipts have risen by nearly 8% compared to the same time period last year, while higher corporation and VAT returns have also been recorded. However, the money received from excise duty has fallen again as a result of the government's fuel supports. Taoiseach and Finance Minister Simon Harris believes the Exchequer returns show the economy is in a good position overall.
They show an Irish economy that is fundamentally strong. They show strong tax returns and, of course, a labour market now that's really running at full capacity, full employment for the longest period ever in the history of the state for the last 4.5 years. And what this means is government now has choices and opportunities in next month's budget to try and help people to make sure work always pays.
Buncrana is hundreds of homes short of what's needed to meet local housing demand, according to a local councillor in the town. Councillor Jack Murray says he's been contacted now on a daily basis by people struggling to find accommodation that is suitable and affordable. He says desperation is growing largely because the town is still playing catch-up after years of little or no house building at all. He says the situation is being compounded by the defective concrete crisis.
Absolutely. For well over a decade, there was no social housing built in Buncrana at all. The government opted to instead contribute towards rent to private rental. Now, if you're to go back over the last decade and add up the billions of money that was spent in people in rental markets, you could see just how many homes could have been built in public ownership in that time that would give people a permanent home over their heads. But in the meantime, we also have a defective block crisis. So that makes it even more difficult, as so many construction workers are now trying to deal with that crisis. We also have people looking for private rental, and many people that have a spare property are offering it to those who are rebuilding their house in a understandable act of solidarity. But there's again a knock-on impact on that those families now looking for long-term rental are finding it almost impossible to find anywhere. So, like, every day I'm contacted by people in really, really dire and desperate situation. People that are hard working families, salted their families, and they simply can't find anywhere to stay. And it's really desperately sad. And we need government intervention. We need hundreds of houses. Buncrana, I would estimate, we're about 700 houses behind where we need to be. So we need to treat this as an emergency and help people get safe and secure roofs over their heads.
The Minister of State for European Affairs says he's confident a budget can be agreed for the European Union by the end of this year. It's one of the key tasks facing the Irish EU presidency. Ministers from across the bloc are holding an informal meeting in Dublin Castle today. Minister Thomas Byrne says countries simply have to agree a budget by the end of December.
I'm absolutely confident we can achieve this by the end of the year, because I think we need to. And the reason we need to is because we need to have the funds in place by the 1st of January 2028. And if we don't conclude the negotiations this year, we won't have time to do all the legislation that goes with the figures that we would agree. So that's why it's absolutely essential. Our farmers, our rural communities, our industries, the European citizens.
Letterkenny University Hospital was the joint second most overcrowded hospital in the state this morning, with 40 admitted patients awaiting a bed, the same figure as was recorded in Galway. This morning's INMO data shows 11 of those patients were in the emergency department. Sligo had 38 people awaiting beds. That gave a Northwest total of 78. Nationally, 454 admitted patients were without beds in the Irish hospital system this morning. Concerns have been raised that a lack of technical staff in the Lifford-Stranraer Municipal District could see money lost to an important safety project in Drumkeen if progress hasn't been made by November. The money's been allocated under the Climate Action Fund to road safety improvements below the church in Drumkeen, but officials pointed out they've been telling members for months that there is a shortage of engineers, and that's affecting their capacity to deliver all the projects they're being asked to. Well, Cathaoirleach Councillor Patrick McGowan says there needs to be a meeting involving engineers and the local community. He's stressing members will accept no excuses if money is lost.
Every one of us committed to getting this work done, and that's why we're looking for a meeting and at least in the next 2 weeks. We don't get money often for this type of work. You know, it's climate action. There's an opportunity here to take the danger away. This has gone on over a year and a half, 2 years. We knew this vacancy was occurring out there, taking them nearly 6 months, a year to find a replacement. In the meantime, they could have seconded some of the staff, some Lifford, up to do this. Bearing in mind, there is funding there to do it. Like, they should have found a way to do it.
Staying with the Lifford-Stranraer area, and Donegal County Council is being told there's a pressing need for road safety investment in the district, particularly in the vicinity of Raphoe, Convoy and St Johnson. The issue was raised at an MD meeting this week by Councillor Frank McBurty, who welcomed the development of a footpath at the Congregational Church in Raphoe, but stressed the need for a pelican crossing as part of that project. Councillor McBurty says there have been multiple deaths and injuries over the years, and there's not been sufficient attention paid to the need for road safety works, particularly in areas where there are new new housing developments. He says this is about to become a major issue with a new development in St Johnson.
All the partnerships that are there, they're supposed to sit down and address the issues that need to be addressed, such as the pedestrianisation of these areas. That's going to be a huge development in St Johnson, and there's one in Lifford at the minute, but the one in St Johnson is another 30 houses been built in Cosheven. Everyone knows that that corner leading into St Johnson is a death trap for cars. But what's it like for pedestrians?
And there's more from Councillor McBurty and indeed Councillor McGowan available on those two interviews on our website, highlandradio.com. A Dublin City Councillor is calling for an all-island clampdown on illegal fireworks. Currently, fireworks can be purchased from retailers north of the border and brought south. Councillor Gail Ralph says legislation needs to be tightened after videos appeared on social media of young people throwing fireworks at each other. She wants the First Minister, Michelle O'Neill, to start working on imposing a ban.
I'd seen videos of young people like effectively using them as a game, firing them at each other, at passers-by in cars and in very public open spaces. I saw it myself, some of the behaviour, firsthand the other night, and it just brought to me how dangerous this is becoming. I think this is the worst that I've seen it. There was a lot of laughter and there was great crack going on, and they didn't see the danger of, they were holding missiles in their hands. So the kids aren't fully aware of the dangers of this. The adults are. The adults should not be going up there, picking up fireworks for the kids and bring them home. They shouldn't be coming back here and sound them online.
Scoil na Siúin de Gortaithorc is to add the patronage of St Carlo Acutis to its name. Carlo Acutis was born in 1991 and died in 2006. He was canonised almost a year ago on September 7th and appointed the patron saint of the internet. A special celebration will take place this Sunday at 11 with Bishop Niall Call celebrating Mass and a Monsignor from Assisi bringing relics of St Carlo Acutis. Principal Patricia E. Harlick outlined the reason for the decision on today's Greg Hughes Show.
Last year when St Carlo was canonised, we had decided as a school that this would be a lovely way to honour our first millennial saint and to bring, you know, our church to this new era and a role model for young children to look up to, especially as he is the patron saint of the internet, where our children are at harm daily online.
The World Meteorological Organization has issued a call to action over the El Nino weather phenomenon. It says there is knowledge and tools available to prevent hazards associated with the event becoming a crisis. The WMO is warning it'll persist through to February, increasing the risk of flooding, drought and extreme heat. The World Meteorological Organization's Secretary General is Celeste Saulo.
It's strongly warming the waters in the Pacific, in the equatorial, central and eastern Pacific, and that fuels, I would say, the whole atmospheric circulation. And that drives patterns across the whole world, including droughts, floods, heat waves, and this is what will affect common people across the world.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports. Find all your GA essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 6:15. Good evening, Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We begin with Gaelic Games. The Tyrone Senior Championship starts this evening. The Red Hand County still host a straight knockout competition. And up first, it's Eden Dork taking on Arbogue in Dungannon. So if you lose in the first round in Tyrone, your championship effectively comes to an end tonight. Well, the Derry Senior Championship will also continue this evening with the first of the qualifier games. It's a second bite of the cherry for Kilray and Fochan Vale, who meet at Owen Beg. The winner progresses, while the loser will make an exit from the championship. On to cross-channel football, Declan Rice was trained today with Arsenal ahead of Sunday's Premier League clash with Chelsea. The England midfielder was taken off late on against Astonville on Monday night, but showed no ill effects today. Defender Christian Macura missed the session, which could indicate that new signing Ezri Konsa will make his first start this weekend. Liverpool boss Andoni Iroli says their new big money signing, Bradley Barcola, has arrived at Anfield with the right mentality. The forward completed his move from Paris Saint-Germain this week for a fee worth up to £125 million. Iroli hopes Barcola will play some part in the club's Premier League trip to Ipswich on Friday night.
I've liked from him that he wanted Liverpool a lot. He just wanted to come here, and I think that's a good first sign, and being the player that he is and the things that he has won recently, I think he has come also with the willingness to help us.
There's one game on the pitch this evening up in Scotland. It's the Edinburgh Derby. Hibernian are taking on Hearts, and that one starts at 7:45. Closer to home, Rory Gaffney has described his time at Shamrock Rovers as a privilege as he hangs up his boots after a 16-year professional career. The striker scored both of the Hoops goals in last year's FAI Cup final, securing a domestic double for the club. He has also won a total of 5 league titles across his 187 appearances. The Galway native also had spells in the UK with Bristol Rovers, Salford City and Walsall. In boxing, Katie Taylor is continuing her preparations ahead of Saturday's homecoming fight at a sold-out Croke Park. The Bray boxer takes on a Flora Pilly and could round off her career by becoming undisputed world lightweight champion for a third time. But Taylor's sparring partner, Eric Donovan, has warned that the French woman will be coming to spoil the party.
She's also got an undefeated record. She's a good few years junior of Katie, 11 years or something like that. So that could pay a big dividends in the fight. Like, she's nothing to lose. She's everything to win. And she's a chance to fight the greatest ever in front of 80,000 people. And she has the biggest chance ever to cause the biggest upset in world sport.
In tennis, there's action this evening at the US Open. Men's third seed, Felix Azay-Aliassime, is up against Russia's Karen Khachanov at the Louis Armstrong Stadium. In the women's draw, Ivan Shevchenko takes on Nadia Poroskowska as they go head-to-head at the grandstand. The late session will see the men's top seed, Alexander Zverev, up against Quinton Halles, while home favourite Coco Gauff is taking on Paulo Badosa. The England cricketers face a chase of 166 as they look to take the second game in their one-day international series with Ireland. The hosts dismissed Ireland's side with 3 overs to spare a short time ago. In rugby, Ronan O'Gara is reportedly set to pen a 4-year contract extension at top 14 side La Rochelle, which effectively has ruled him out becoming Leo Cullen's replacement as Leinster head coach. But it looks now that Philippe Contepone will emerge as the front runner there. Just finally, coming up on the score this evening, former Finn Harps captain Joe Boyle joins us for a weekly League of Ireland chat to look ahead to the games for Finn Harps in the First Division and Derry City in the FAI Cup. Harps chairman Ian Harkin tells us about the appointment of Darren Murray as the club's academy director. We hear from Donegal League club Cranford United, who are celebrating their 50th anniversary. And we'll preview this weekend's Danny Gormley knockout Hill Climb with clerk of the course, Brian Gibbons. It's all part of the score, which is coming up later here in Highland, just after the 7 o'clock news, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. Well, it's a Thursday, which means it's time for Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's Farming News and Views with me, Chris Ashmore. As no doubt you've heard on the news, Brazilian beef and poultry have been banned this week from entering the EU. Well, it's certainly been a busy time on the agricultural front, and shortly we'll hear about another big issue, the Unlocking Ireland's Bioeconomy Report, which recommends cutting the national suckler herd drastically. But first, tomorrow, Friday the 4th, sees the 8th annual Donegal Cheviot and Cheviot Crossbreeders Hoggets and Ewe Lamb Show and Sale. The event takes place at Balbofane Stranorler Livestock Mart. And I've been speaking with James Orienko, the chair of the Donegal Cheviot and Cheviot Crossbreeders Group, to get some more details. James, it looks like there's a lot of interest in the event, and in fact, you have a number of new classes as well.
Yes, that's right, Chris. Well, it's great to be back on Highland Radio here again and all that. And yeah, we've been very, very busy there, Chris, over the last few weeks there, preparing for the sale. And we have a large entry of sheep this year, around 1,100 sheep is entered between hoggets and ewe lambs. And we have a couple of new classes there this year, too. We have class there for North Country Cheviot, Hoggett Ewe, and North Country Cheviot Ewe Lamb, Chris. So there's been huge interest in that as well. And I think at this stage, we're a group that are, we have a huge selection of sheep available. I was kind of thinking it's getting like Tesco or somewhere. You just go now with the basket and take all you want and away out the door. So there's a great selection of sheep there from all different types of farms there across Donegal. So we have sheep coming off the hill farms and then upland farms and then on better farms as well. So,
and tell us the details. What time will the viewing of stock be from, and when does the sale actually get underway?
the viewing from about 3 o'clock there, Chris. So we'll hopefully, all sheep penned up by about 2 o'clock, whatever. Viewing from 3 o'clock onwards there, and then the sale kicks off then at 6 p.m. sharp. And obviously it'll be online as well, whatever. And bear in mind as well, I think there might be roadworks as well in Ballybuffet there, so that there might be a bit of a delay there for traffic coming through the town there. So just bear that in mind if you're coming up from the south side of the county, you know. So
yeah, and the mighty Finn Harps in action as well, so it's going to be a busy time in the town. There's also let's just not forget, there's a number of perpetual cups and prizes, and there's prestige when you can lift one of those trophies.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think it's gone. I remember the first sale back 8 years ago, and I can't believe where the time has went. But the competition now is really ramped up, Chris, and the standard of stock is really ramped up, you know, and there's huge competition there amongst the farmers there, you know, trying to obviously do their best to win it as well. Like, we obviously want a good sale and good prices for our stock and that, but there's huge competition within each class there as well, Chris, you know, and great pride there. And I must say now, I have seen glimpses of sheep available for the sale. They're absolutely outstanding sheep now, and it's credit to all the members and people that help out there to get them sheep up to that standard and to have that great quality stock available, you know.
Concerns have been raised regarding some of the proposals in the recently published Unlocking Ireland's Bioeconomy report, and in particular a possible massive reduction in suckler herd numbers. Declan O'Brien is news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's been writing on the topic this week. Declan, some of the proposals have certainly set the alarm bells ringing.
They have, yeah. No, it is, I suppose, it has to be seen in context, and it was done as part of the land use review. But still in all, it maps out a way in which Ireland can become climate neutral between now and 2050. And some of the proposals in it are extremely worrying from a farmer perspective. Like, it's saying that we reduced the suckler herd by about 80% or 600,000 cows, back down from around 750,000 at the moment to about 165,000. It is suggesting that 90% of all the peatlands in the country and the heavy lands, heavy black soils, should be re-wet. It's saying that we have to ramp up the rate of forestry plantings to about 16,000 hectares a year, which, if you take it that we're only planting 2,500 hectares a year at the moment, is a sevenfold increase. And interestingly, it's also saying we're to reduce or curb the amount of felling that's going on. So you're asking lads to go into forestry on one side and saying to them, OK, we've got to slow down the amount that's harvested, just to keep, and what they're saying there is we have to build the stock of mature forests in the country by about 350,000 hectares. Now, on the other side then, they're saying big uses, conversions to anaerobic digestals, to biorefineries. But the standout actions are going to really worry farmers.
Yeah, I mean, some of those figures are quite startling. Not surprisingly, there's been some reaction, and probably a lot of people feel this is totally unrealistic. The Irish Natura and Hill Farmers Association, amongst those who have spoken strongly in relation to this?
Well, they're saying, look, are you trying to cleanse the whole west and northwest of farmers, essentially? They're saying you're going to totally undermine the basis of the rural economy. You know, that if you're talking about the suckler herd, that's keeping mouths open, it's keeping agri-traders open, it's keeping feed mills open. So there's a massive knock-on. You're going to, they're arguing, or they contend, that what you're going to see are school closures, you're going to see rural depopulation, collapse of community. And they're saying, like, in that Irish phrase, Neil, gan pobl níl tada, you know, without people you have nothing. They're saying the one of the outputs of this is that you undermine the tourist sector, because without the communities, all that you have is landscape. So they're saying that there's real societal consequences on the back of this that have also to be considered. Now, you'd have to say, is this an academic exercise, or is it real scoping out policy? Because what government could enact the likes of this, you know? But then the farm orgs will say, well, this was done with the imprimatur of the government. It is the government actually scoping out what are the options here. And they're saying, look, come 2030, when we don't hit our climate change targets, and there is major fines come a calling for Ireland, is this report going to be taken off the shelf, dusted down, and said, okay, lads, we have a way of tackling this, so bring in some of this stuff?
Well, we will watch with interest. Certainly, it's provoked quite a bit of reaction, and we will see in the years to come just how much of those proposals come to light. Many thanks for joining us, Declan.
No problem, Chris.
And that was Declan O'Brien, news correspondent with the Irish Farmers Journal. In other news, Donegal IFA is organising a suckler beef meeting tomorrow evening on the farm of Neville Miles in Ballyshannon. Speakers will include Adam Woods, editor of the Irish Farmers Journal, who was certainly a key figure in the campaign against the importation of Brazilian beef. And no doubt that will be up for discussion. Plus also in attendance will be Tommy Doherty of Chagas and vet Ulrika Vaughan, who will talk about blue tongue and pneumonia vaccinations. All are welcome, and that event gets underway in Ballyshannon at 7 o'clock. Finally, a reminder that next week is Generational Renewal Week. So if you're planning ahead for the future of your farm, there are a number of Chagas-supported events, including webinars on succession, the Fair Deal Scheme, tax and reliefs and collaboration options, plus there'll be farm walks and information videos. You can contact your local Chagas office for more details, or see the various posts and links online. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Looking now at the weather forecast for this Thursday evening, outbreaks of rain this evening, heavy at times, a clearance from the northwest can be expected before nightfall, southwest winds moderate to fresh. The last of the rain will move away to the southeast early tonight, with clear spells and scattered showers following. Lowest overnight temperatures 12 to 14 degrees Celsius, in fresh to strong westerly winds, reaching gale force at times on the coast. A bright, blustery and fresh day tomorrow with sunny spells and scattered showers. Top temperatures 15 to 17 degrees Celsius in fresh to strong westerly winds. The main stories in brief: the tender return date for work at Buncrana Community Hospital has been extended by the HSC. They say the extension is to ensure the maximum number of submissions are received and the competitive process delivers the best value. Gardaí and Leitrim have launched a witness appeal into a crash that happened over 2 weeks ago. Two cars involved in the collision between Kinloch and Manor Hamilton on Tuesday, August 18th. A man in his 80s who was a passenger in one of the cars has since passed away. And school secretaries and caretakers are to be balloted on proposals from the Workplace Relations Commission. Their union forces says it comes after an intense round of negotiations. The union withdrew strike action a year ago after a process was established in a bid to end the dispute. They say that process was lengthy and painstaking, but it's now been complete and the ballot will take place shortly. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock. In the interim, check all the day's news on highlandradio.com. But for now, from the news team, good evening.
The obituary notices for this Thursday evening, September the 3rd. The death has taken place of David Mullen, 7, Shandon Park, Oma. Reposing at the family home, 22 Woodbrook Village, Oma, today from 7:30 p.m. Funeral leaving the family home on Saturday at 10 a.m. for Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Plum Bridge, at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Henry, Harry Packy Freel, Fallanass, Fanad. Harry's remains will arrive at St Mary's Church, Fanavolti, Fanad at 5:30 on Saturday to repose overnight. The Requiem Mass will be held on Sunday at 12 noon, followed by interment in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Tammany Patient Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Frances Barr, née Boyle, Ballydurowan, Burn Foot. Reposing at her home until 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Funeral from there on Saturday morning at 10:20 a.m. for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Angus Church, Burt, followed by interment in Burt Cemetery. The death has taken place of Donal Freel, Portnamurray, Ballyboe, Rathmullen, formerly Phillip Street, Derry. Reposing at his home until 10 o'clock this evening, and again tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Rosary both nights at 9 p.m. Those attending the wake between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m. should park at the Water's Edge car park, and a bus will be provided from there. Requiem Mass on Saturday at 11 a.m. in St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen. Burial afterwards in Rathmullen Cemetery. Mass can be viewed on MCN Media. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to RNLI, care of any family member. The death has occurred of Shauna Hennigan, Ballylosky, Carndonagh. Shauna's remains will repose at her home in Ballylosky, Carndonagh today until 10 p.m. and tomorrow from 12 noon until 10 p.m. Family time, please, outside these hours and on the morning of the funeral. Funeral from her home on Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass in Sacred Heart Church, Carndonagh, followed by burial in the adjoining cemetery. Requiem Mass can be viewed live on churchmedia.tv. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Clare's Ward Oncology, Beaumont Hospital, and the Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Eamon McLaughlin Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.